It's the Escape Artist Podcast at DonkeyJawProjects.com, hosted by yours truly, Marshall Couture, also known as
We make, relate, create, it's change harness. The soul within the comics and movies that they market. Activating people's imaginations, the target, work the hardest. With passion and heart, it's Escape Artist.
What's up, everybody? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Plex. And you're listening to the Escape Artist Podcast, hosted by PlexBeats.com and DonkeyJawProjects.com. How you guys doing? Doing all right. Let's see. It's Friday, and it's a sunny day. It's a cold sunny day in New England, and I'm driving, doing my job, driving as usual, and yeah, just thinking about a lot of stuff. I actually kind of have a topic today, but it's kind of, well, there's definitely takeaways, and it's kind of personal. I mean, I'm going to be candid with you guys and everything, so pretty much just say almost everything. There's very little that I hold back. I have yet to say my social security number and my address and my phone number on the podcast. But those will be coming soon, probably. No. But you know, I keep some things, you know, obviously. I'm not going to say every last little thing. Some stuff is just not interesting anyways.
We're going to get a little extra candid, I think, today. But anyways, I'm going to start off, I guess, talking about basically the idea. What I want to talk about is reinventing yourself.
This is interesting, I guess. I grew up, and I didn't grow up in a religious family. I grew up, basically it was me and my mom is what it was. She didn't know for sure, honestly, who, my father was, which isn't the greatest thing in the world, but, you know, I don't judge her for it. She was a kid doing her thing or whatever. And, so we weren't 100% sure, but there's, you know, the one guy who was always, who she kind of made be around me, who I call my father. And then I've had, like, a couple stepfathers as well along the way. But, you know, early starting out, before I, you know, really remember much, I was with him and my mom, the one who I call my dad. I actually do remember a little bit of that. I don't know how long they were together, like, but, I mean, how far can your memories go back? I don't know. Like, I want to say I was, like, 2 or 3 or something, but I have, you know, a scatter, like, I don't know, like, a handful of memories from when he was there, you know, or whatever. And then, eventually they divorced, and, I was still pretty young. I feel like I was probably around 3 or 4 or something, who knows. I'm trying to think of when I started going to school, because you start going to school at, like, 5, so, yeah, I had to be, like, 3 or 4 when they divorced, because when I started to go to school, I think my mom was already married to my first stepfather. So, anyways, so a lot of that happened, and then we kind of built a family, you know, with my stepfather. And I would see my dad on the weekends and stuff. and, you know, my mom had my brother, and that, you know, was interesting, and that was when I was around 7 years old, because I only know that because, you know, I, we're 7 years apart, you know, as far as our ages or whatever, and, so, you know, they had a kid, and I had already been, obviously, going to school for a little while, and I guess they decided to have a kid, or they just did by accident, who knows. Actually, that doesn't even make sense, though, really. When do you start going to school? Because my brother, like, I would, well, maybe, okay. Maybe I was a little older. I don't know. The timeline is kind of confused because now that I think about it, I did go to kindergarten around the time that my brother was born. Huh. I'll have to ask my mom how the timeline worked, because it's fuzzy for me because I was, you know, little, and I only have like handfuls of memories here and there. And like, I remember, I feel like I remember a lot, though, like, from a really young age. Like, you know, I feel like I almost remember getting diapers put on and stuff. I don't know. So that's, like, really young, like, 2 or 3. I feel like I have memories from, like, 3 years old and stuff. It's crazy. But not, like, crazy vivid memories, like, barely understanding what's going on memories, I guess. And then there was, like, a time that, there was definitely a time where my mom wasn't with my dad, and she didn't, you know, meet my stepfather or anything, so there's definitely a time where it was just me and my mom, and I guess that's why I feel like, you know, it was probably right around that time that I was, you know, starting to remember stuff more, and I don't know, that, you know, it was just me and my mom, so it's like my earliest kind of memories are with my dad for a little while, and then my mom for a little while, so that was kind of the established thing, and then I was with my stepfather, so it was like the only constant within all of that was me and my mom, so I feel like I kind of grew up that way, you know. And, you know, my stepfather was cool, sort of, but he was kind of a negative person. And I guess he was really cool with me for a while, and then when he had my brother, like, he wasn't as cool with me. Like, I don't really know, because you know, you're a kid, you don't really see the insights to these things, you know. You're still developing your brain and all that. You know, but basically we were building a family, and we had a house, and, you know, 2 kids, and my mom and my stepfather, and it was, you know, kind of cool, you know, and probably things would have been better off if we stayed in that situation, but who knows. And you know what? I had no control over it. And, you know, I love everybody. You know, I don't get into, like, I don't hold grudges. I try my best to forgive people. You know, not that I'm the authority of anything, but I think forgiveness is a very important part of life and just family and relationships. Like, and I actually ran into this recently, like, the thing is basically I'm at, like, this kind of crossing the roads type of thing, like, not where I have to choose, but where I'm deciding to choose one way or another, because, you know, things haven't been right, you know, for way too long, and it really started even from the beginning, you know, when I was a kid. But I, you know, like I said, I love everybody, and, you know, one thing recently I put out, you may or may not have seen, like, on Facebook, I put out a post, about family and, you know, saying there's only like five people in my family who like really even have any real, I have really any connection to, and, you know, everybody else it just seems like is all screwed up, or not screwed up, but like drifting and stuff. And I don't really mean that like exactly, like it's not all necessarily really bad, it's just some stuff isn't great, like it's just not what I expected, you know. And I've been thinking about this for a long time, you know, and just things have not turned out anywhere near to what I expected. Life is, the life that I have now is not even close to the life I imagined I was having, gonna have, you know. And there's a lot of things out of my control, but there's a lot of things within my control that I'm not controlling, you know. There's, I need to be taking care of those things I can, at least, you know. And the other stuff is going to have to work itself out. I have no control over that. But, you know, so that whole thing, the little Facebook thing I put out was like, and I actually deleted it now, but I had it up for like a week or so. And, you know, I got a ton of responses. I wish I got that much response for my music and art. But I got a ton of responses, a lot of support from a lot of you guys. And family as well. And basically, you know, an incident happened recently. Not really an incident, but an event happened recently. And I don't even know. Well, I don't think anybody's listening, but even still, I wouldn't really want to put it out there. But basically, an event happened recently that got me kind of frustrated. To the point where I'm just done. Like, I feel like I'm done with the BS. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes that's what it takes. You know, you just gotta get to a point in life where it's like, you know what? I'm done playing around. You know, this is serious, you know? And this family stuff, this life stuff, this business stuff, whatever. Like, this whole life situation is serious business. And, you know, I'm not saying that you have to be serious. That's not the even the best strategy necessarily, and sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. But, you know, there needs to be some change, you know what I mean? There's too many things that have been going too sour for too long, you know, and something's gotta give. And nothing's gonna give. What's gonna give is I'm gonna give. I'm gonna freaking make changes, you know? And I'm going to make drastic changes. Not like risky changes. I don't mean risky changes. I don't mean like being a pain, like being a jerk or anything like that. I mean like fundamental changes. Foundational changes. And, you know, it's coming up to the new year and stuff, and, hey, that's when we all kind of do that anyway. So, you know, if it goes the way it's always gone, I'll probably make all these, you know, things to change, and then come around next year, this time, I'll still be in the same spot, because I won't actually have done anything, you know, if... which is pretty typical in my life. But I've never really come, and I've always tried things, but, you know, I've never come to a point where I'm just like, it's now or never, it's do or die, it's sink or swim, you know, like I am now. And I guess I've never come to a point of frustration to the point where it's pushing me to do things that are just not natural, not like way out of my comfort zone and stuff like that. And that's where I'm at right now. I've come to places where it was small versions of that, but there just needs to be an overhaul. And and I guess part of it too is I've been learning a lot of things. So, you know, what I've been learning has encouraged me to make these changes and given me some strategies and stuff to approach it in a better way, I hope, and I think. But I really think so, because these are literally foundational things. So I guess, yeah, for the intro type of stuff, that's all I really want to talk about. So we'll kind of get into where this is leading to, which is, basically, I've been reading the new book. You know, I have an audible.com account or whatever, and, so I picked up this new book. You guys have heard many times that I've talked about the 48 Days to the Work You Love podcast, and, Dan Miller is the guy who does that, and it's really awesome podcast. I mean, you really have, I mean, it's easily the best marketing podcast, in my opinion, like, you know, on podcasts on, like, business marketing, either getting a new job or moving into, you know, a business of your own, whatever. But the reason why I say it's the best is because every other podcast, and there's a lot of really good ones out there, and I shouldn't say every other podcast, but the ones for the most part that I listen to, you know, they give a lot of tips, strategies, tactics, they get into a lot of stuff, but it's not quite, basically a lot of times I leave kind of feeling a little panicked, like excited, but maybe too excited, like I come off with so many ideas that I just, I guess it's overwhelming is what it is, like because there's so much involved in all this and you have to do a lot of things to really make this stuff work at once. So this guy, Dan Miller, he just has a way about him where he talks about all of life is, you know, a big part of it, and, you know, it's all inclusive. And it's more, you know, it's creating the life you want, things like that. But he just has a way of, I think it's just he has a way about him that is just, it's calming. You know, when you hear him talk, you don't feel panicked. Like, you feel like, okay, so this is the kind of stuff you need to set up in your life, and, you know, let's work towards it. It's like encouraging, and I don't know. He just has a certain way. I think it might even be in his voice or something. I don't know. It's just like he's kind of got like a laid-back way about him, but he's still all about taking action, you know? So, excuse me. Sorry, I didn't mean to cough. I don't know. It's weird. So I really like that podcast. And he recently suggested, you know, a lot of times I'll listen to his podcast and listen for the book suggestions, so I can go and grab it on audible.com. So the latest one he talked about was, Rabbi Daniel Lappin. And he has this book out that I've read, listened to as well, called, Thou Shalt Prosper. And obviously he's Jewish, he's a rabbi, but he talks, you know, his first, and I don't know, maybe he probably has other books, but he has two books now on business. that book I've talked about in the podcast, really interesting, like crazy interesting stuff, and kind of really long. Now, this book that I'm reading right now is called, something like what the Bible says about business, or business tips from the Bible, I don't know, something like that, but, you know, it's all about, it has to do with stuff, basically more of the Jewish teaching on business and stuff, and, you know, it makes sense to learn from Jewish people, honestly. I mean, this hopefully doesn't come off racist or anything, I don't think it is. But, you know, in a very real way, Jews have prospered in so many different areas in the world, and in business and things like that. They pretty much run Hollywood. I mean, you know, and all kinds of other things. They were, you know, they kind of, one of the things they started doing a lot at one point was banking and just a lot of different industries, you know. And I mean, you could probably say that about a lot of different cultures and stuff, but they're such a very small part of this world. Like, the Jewish population, meaning not like in Israel, but just like as a whole, like in the world, is such a small part of the whole population of the world that, and this is what he talks about in his first book, that we shouldn't even know that Jewish people exist. It's like that small, you know, of a population. But not only do we know that they exist, but they are very well known, and, you know, one of the most known races, or I don't know what you want to call them, religion races, I don't know, in the world. I personally think they're the only thing. A lot of people say, you know, Jewish, whatever, is not a race, it's a religion. But that's not true, actually. A lot of people like to say that, and this isn't something I've gotten from that book. This is just something I believe and know. I mean, it's both, actually. I don't want to, like, say it in a certain way, but, like, you know, biblically, at least, in the history of the Bible, you know, it has been both, you know. In the Bible, the Jews are the God's people, basically. But at the same time, everybody is created by God, and everybody has a purpose and things like that. But, you know, initially, that's how God started it out, according to the Bible. And so basically, they are a race, and they're a religion. They're both. It's the only, probably the only culture or anything like that that is so in, like, combined in those two aspects. Like, they're pretty much both, in my opinion. So anyways, that doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is that I was reading this guy's book, and it's really interesting, and I think it's like what the Bible says about business or something like that. And basically he goes through 40 different principles. And also it's kind of a more concise version of Thou Shalt Prosper, because Thou Shalt Prosper is really long, and he spends a lot of time talking about, you know, the Jewish influence in the world and the stereotypes people have about Jews and how, which ones are true and which ones aren't and what things mean. And he goes into a lot of things that maybe I think they're interesting, but they're not like straightforward on business. And even in this book, he kind of does that, but it's definitely a lot more concise. And I think it's valuable for somebody who's not religious as well as somebody who is religious. And there's just a lot of cool things. But anyways, so I've been reading this book. Super interesting take on business. And it really reflects a lot of the stuff I've been learning as well. And things that I think are true, you know, on the business side of things. And it challenges some of the things that I thought and feel, you know, about this stuff. So, you know, a few of the things, like, it's kind of starts off talking about how specialization is a big deal, and you know, initially in the world, you know, people had to do everything. They had to farm their own food and, you know, literally, like, make their own clothes, wash their... They had to do everything. They had to do every single little thing that you do and you have a lot of convenience for. They had to make from scratch and things like that. And people always, you know, say, oh, maybe, you know, kind of, I wish it was back to that, you know, things were more simpler. But he brings out the point that things were not more simpler, you know. That's just a nostalgic look, but it's not an accurate look at it. That kind of life is pretty, pretty miserable. Because you have to do all that stuff, you know, and you have to know how to do all that stuff, and you're just constantly working to the bone just to meet your basic needs. And that's really no life, you know. And there's not time for leisure in that kind of lifestyle, really. You know, it's pretty much wake up, work to survive, and go to sleep and wake up and do the next same thing next day. And we think of our lives like that, but we have a lot of leisure time, you know, because we have washing machines and we can go buy clothes and we can, you know, we don't have to prepare our own bread and grow our own flour and wheat, you know, and mix these things together and process them. And, you know, we don't have to sew our own clothes or whatever. Like, we don't, there's so many things that we have convenience, you know. So it's just, so he brings out the idea of specialization as, you know, and trade, like introducing that. And that's kind of how, you know, cultures start to progress. You know, they start engaging in trade. And, you know, then you have somebody who milks, does, you know, farming with cows. You have somebody who grows the wheat. You have somebody who makes bread. You have somebody who, you know, does all these different trades. And then you start to trade back and forth. So the load becomes much lighter, because not only can you be the guy who makes the bread, but you'll make bread that's actually better, you know, because you specialize in that area, and you'll be able to better provide for other people. And the whole point of that is to be connected. Everybody needs to be connected. And, you know, and that's kind of, you know, and he puts it this way, and I believe, I agree with this, is, you know, it's how God created us. We're supposed to be connected, you know. We just work better when we're helping each other out. When I'm helping you fulfill your needs and you're helping me fulfill my needs, it's just a lot more of an efficient way to do things, you know. And that happens through business as well. That's basically the basis of business. You know, and he goes into, within the book, he talks a lot about business and people's perception of it, and money and people's perception of it, and how, you know, a lot of people have a lot of negative thoughts towards all that, but, you know, they're missing out and not realizing that all those things are actually good. But obviously, yes, there is corruption that happens, and there's all kinds of instances. But at a basic level, that stuff, all it does is help each other out and create a much more efficient and a much more rich, wealthy, and not money wealthy necessarily, but just wealthy as far as quality of life, lifestyle for everybody. And the more that continues and gets bigger and bigger, the better our lifestyle, the less stuff we have to worry about as far as our basic needs, and the more we can start to deal more with our spiritual needs. And spiritual not meaning, you know, being some kind of monk alone on a hill or something, or, you know, any kind of weird thing like that, or like even meditation or anything, but spiritual meaning relationships, like, spiritual meaning anything that you can do that an animal can't do, basically. You know, anything above the basic needs of providing for yourself and your family, you know. Like eating and clothing and shelter, you know, all that stuff. Food, clothing, shelter. So anything basically above that, you know, is kind of on the spiritual realm. Like even just getting knowledge and learning and teaching other people and, you know, so you can start to focus on that stuff. And, you know, and then obviously when there's so much wealth in an area, there can be becomes, you know, laziness, and there's a lot of things that can happen. But as long as you're being part of the productive part of that society, you know, not meaning any section specifically, but just as an individual being productive and contributing to society, then, you know, for the most part, outside of calamities and things like that, things are going to go good, and it's a good, positive move. And not only is it a good thing to do, but it actually builds you. It makes you a better person, because all this stuff, none of this stuff goes by itself. Like, you don't just make money to make money. Like, becoming wealthy or well off, maybe I'll say at least, or I don't know, just making a living, I should say, and building something that makes a profitable living and a very good living is character building. You have to become a lot of different things than you are naturally. You have to get out of your comfort zone. You have to be like, manage certain things better, you know. You have to stop being the kid who, you know, wants to play with his toys and whines when he can't and gets fed, to starting to provide those things for yourself and starting to manage those things yourself and become an adult. And, you know, by default, we become adults. You know, and this is really the crux of where I'm getting to. You know, by default, we become adults, but just because we're at a certain age doesn't mean we are matured to that level or that age, you know, which everybody knows, obviously. But, you know, some of these things take time, and I guess the reason why I went, like, through all this family stuff and how I grew up and all that, is to kind of show you the frame, the picture of where I'm at now, because I'm trying to learn how not to, like, not blame, because I guess maybe on a subconscious level, maybe I do blame my parents and stuff, but I don't know. Yeah, I guess that's it. You know, I'm trying to learn not to, basically to take control of my own situation and not keep saying things like, you know, well, I'd be better at this if my parents had taught me, or, you know, it would be nice if I had a family to fall back on, but now I have just, like, scattered parents and stepfathers and things, and none of them are together, and it's like, nobody taught me a lot of things that I needed to be taught, you know. I didn't really have the father figure in my life that I needed to prepare me for the world, you know. I had the mother figure, but she was trying to do both, you know, and it's just, there's really something to be said for having a mother and a father, and having that family unit, you know. It's, I'm speaking from experience. I see people who had a better situation and are doing better, you know. You know, where they, meaning where, you know, they had both parents and both parents who cared and all that stuff. It's just the truth that it's really hard. It's a lot harder, and there's statistics that show it too, that I've heard of before. That, you know, people who grow up in broken families struggle in life, you know, and it's not true for every situation or every person. People do change, and that's the beauty and amazing thing about being human, you know, and that's one of the things that sets us apart from animals, is we have the ability to progress and change, you know. Animals, they just focus on their basic needs, and, you know, they do what the instincts tell them to do, and they do kind of have personalities and stuff. I'm not trying to say anything bad about, I love animals. Like, I have two cats. I think they're awesome, and they're annoying and funny and silly, and, you know, they're fun. and they have their own, they both have their own distinct personalities for sure. But, you know, the only thing they really care about is being fed and sleeping. And, you know, I mean, you guys, I'm sure, have pets. You know the deal. And dogs are kind of different. They're kind of cool because they're kind of more faithful in a certain way. Like, they're all about you. They want to be interacting with you. And that's what's really cool about a dog. And that's why they say dogs are his best friend and all that stuff. You know, cats are kind of more like, I'll just do my own thing, you know. Anyways, I don't know why I'm going off on that tangent, but, you know, the point is that humans have the ability to progress and to change, and we should progress and change, and we shouldn't be the people we started off as. There's, like, two things. Like, people say people don't change, and people say people do change. It's both. It's another thing that's both, in my opinion. You know, people don't change in, like, their basic, like, personality, their God-given personality, whatever it is. There's just a certain way about everybody, you know, and there's certain, like, kind of defaults. You know, there's certain ways that I just am, that my wife is totally not like that, you know. And no matter what I do, I'm always going to have that, like, default. So in that sense, I'll never change. But in another sense, I will change drastically. And I think even if you think you're not changing and you're doing the same thing, like, I think you do change. You maybe become more cynical or something, whatever. But you progress is how you change. You know, you can become a better version or a different, maybe a better or a worse version of yourself, basically. But you'll still be yourself, but you're going to become a better or worse version of yourself. Or maybe you won't change at all. I'm not saying people definitely change. I'm saying people can change and often do. But there probably are some people who don't really change that much, you know, and just live a mediocre life. And, you know, it is what it is. If you're afforded that comfort and you can do that, then I kind of, like, I see why somebody might do that, because they just want to live that way. And there's fears and all kinds of things that kind of stop us. And I'm definitely empathetic and sympathetic to those things. And I've done a lot of that myself. But I think we have a responsibility to become a better person, become a better version of ourselves, and to contribute to the world, you know. Some of the worst evils in the world have happened because people have just just let things happen, have been too passive, you know what I mean? You know, I think that being passive is sometimes a good strategy, but not always, and many times, especially if there's an evil going on, we need to stand up for things, you know, and do certain things. I also recently I read this when I was in high school, and it greatly impacted me. One of the biggest things that impacted me in high school. But I just re-listened to Night by Eli Wiesel. I think that's how you say his name. But if you don't know, I mean, it's a very well-known book, so you probably do. But if you don't know, it's, you know, it's the account of Eli Wiesel growing up and being taken into a concentration camp with his family, and, you know, his mother and sister died, and were, you know, pretty much immediately were, I think, thrown into the furnace, sadly, and crazily. Just blows my mind that could even happen, but And him and his father, you know, survived for a long time. And, you know, eventually his father didn't make it. But, you know, they went through so much craziness and so much persecution or whatever you call it. And it's just, it's absolutely horrible. And obviously, I don't know, I don't like to dwell on stuff like that, but I think it's important to, at some point in your life, read and take in that kind of literature, because that kind of stuff is happening even to this day, you know, and it's like, one of the themes of the book is like, you know, we were going through this crazy time and being dehumanized and treated in such a way that no human should ever be treated, and the world didn't do anything. You know, that's what they felt like, because they were in these concentration camps, and he even lost faith in God for, you know, a while, and, you know, kind of cursed God. And I mean, I can't blame the guy, you know, going through that stuff. And I'm not going to get into a theological discussion, but I think he always, even then, believed in God, but wasn't too happy with him, basically. I don't know. We'll see. Who knows? But, I mean, you can research that further. But I do know that I did see a quote that he's, you know, he did continue in his faith afterward. And, you know, he just basically has questions. He doesn't understand certain things, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't believe in God, basically. You know, it is what it is, and you might think somebody's foolish for that, but I personally don't. And obviously, you know, because I do have faith, and I have no idea. You know, reading the book is, you know, it's a good first step, but, you know, you really have no idea what that was like unless you were there. And those people that went through it don't even have a hard time even knowing how to explain it. You know, even he was saying, the words I am saying don't even, you know, really express it the way it needs to be expressed, but I did my best, basically. And he feels like that those things need to be said, and these things need to be known by the general public to possibly prevent future things and stuff. And we need to stand up for people who are in, you know, these kind of situations in the world. And, you know, that's just the second read or listen there, you know, was just as impactful as the first, you know. And when I was younger, I didn't understand a lot of things about the world. So, you know, now that I'm older and I've grown up, you know, they impact me in a different way. And I'd be lying if I said, you know, that when I was reading that, I wasn't multiple times and, you know, kind of brought to tears, you know. It's really crazy. And even now I feel it, you know. But anyways, so I'm trying to think of why I brought that up. All I know is that's made me a lot more grateful about the opportunities we have. And I guess maybe that's part of what's gotten me in this mode of, we got to change some things, because we have the ability to. Not everybody has the ability to. And I think I have a responsibility to make changes in my life so that I can be a better person and a better version of myself, and I can be of more help to the world, you know? Because at this point, I can barely pay my bills, and I'm not much help to the world if all I'm doing is stressing about bills and, you know, trying to work on a business that's getting nowhere. And it's just, like, what am I doing, you know? And there's so many things that are just not, like, the foundation is just kind of screwed up in my life, you know. And like I said, I can blame my parents, but I'm done with that. You know, I'm not going to blame my parents. I do love, even through feeling a little blameful or whatever, I still loved my parents, all my, like, stepfathers, all that. There's a lot of reasons why I shouldn't, some points, but I do. Not my mom, though. My mom was there, you know. She's the one who take care of me, you know. And maybe she could have done some things, but she didn't know what she was doing either. She had some situations growing up that screwed her up, too. And, you know, the thing is the cycle's just going to keep going if I don't do something about it for myself, you know. And if I can change and become a better person, then, you know, hopefully, I mean, this is one of the things that's really hard about my life is I might not be able to have children. And I've always wanted to have children. Me and my wife both have, and, you know, we're not sure, you know, and it has to do with her physical situation, and who knows, maybe we can't even have children, we don't really know, because we haven't even tried, because, you know, the situation we have is not great, and I don't want to bring a kid up in a place where I can't even take care of stuff, you know, so anyways, I want to become a better person, hopefully I'll be able to have children at some point. And I want to be able to teach them things that I wasn't taught as a kid. And not as revengeful type of attitude, you know. But just, like, I just want to make a difference and be what I feel like I should be in the world, you know. I don't want to just be going through the motions and come to the end of my life and it's like, well, you made a bunch of stuff and you had fun, but is that it? Like, and I feel like I've made some contributions to the world in my life, you know, and that's cool, but it pales in comparison to the potential, you know, that we all have a lot of potential, you know, like a ton of potential. Like, there's no way we'll, even if we had a great start, there's no way we could probably even live up to our potential, you know. You know, they talk about the brain, like we only use a small percentage of our brain, like 10% or something stupid, and you know, it's mostly nothing. I don't know if it's even anything we can help. Maybe we can, but just that in itself, there's all that potential there, you know. But even just physical, a lot of us aren't even close to our physical potential. Mental, you know, a lot of people I know in my life and my family and things like that, like, I don't know maybe anybody who's, except for some people online and stuff, who is regularly working on personal development, where, you know, they're reading books and trying to learn as much as they can to become a better person or to build their business, or even little things like, you know, people have aspirations, they don't even train to get the trade that they want to get or something, you know, or I don't know, you know, people, or they go to college for a trade and then that's where the education stops, you know. And, you know, and I've just learned this within the last 5 or so years, but I am absolutely committed, and it's not even hard. It's like, it's my fun time is learning, you know? Like, I could sit there and learn all day, every day, if that would pay the bills. But, you know, I am absolutely 100% trying to learn as much as I can, as often as I can. I will never stop working towards personal development ever again in my life. You know, there were times in my life where I did a little bit because I didn't really know this stuff too much. And so, you know, I grow up, I kind of have a lot of disadvantages, but people are in worse shape than I am, so I have a lot of opportunity as well. So this is the, you know, I'm coming to that place where I need to make a change, some drastic changes, you know. And I want to become a much better person, and I got to start from square one and build the foundation. Because the foundation is, it's like it's partially made, and then, like, there's a house kind of built on it, but it's like, it's barely working, you know, and it's just like the foundation is not even really laid properly, so I probably can't fix certain things in the house because there's certain issues with the plumbing and, you know, stuff down there that need to be fixed first. And I don't have money to fix that. So, you know, this is where the metaphor kind of goes, you know. I haven't even gotten a firm foundation going. I got, like, partial foundation. So, what is this foundation I'm talking about, I guess, is, well, I don't know. There's a lot of things, really, but one of the biggest things is the money thing. That's a big part of life, you know. It's something that we all have to deal with constantly. And there's something in this book they're talking about, in the new book I've been reading, where he was talking about in the Bible, or like in the Hebrew language, certain things have like double meanings, and but they like, they don't have double meanings, they have multifaceted meanings where they kind of mean a few different things, but there's a reason because they're all related. And also some words, if you take it one way, mean one thing, and then if you flip the word around, it actually means the opposite of the other thing. This is how, like, this language was made. Like, it's crazy. Like, and his, you know, he says it's God's language, you know. Hebrew is the language that, and you probably maybe won't buy into that, but, and do I buy into it? I don't know. But it's interesting. And I think that was something he was saying with this, but I didn't catch the whole thing because I was a little distracted during this part of the book, but I'll read it again and stuff. But basically he was bringing up the correlations between the word blood and money, or wait, was it money, or it was another, yeah, I think it was like a word for money or something like that, and I think it had this similar thing where it was the same word meant both things or something, or I'm not sure. I gotta look into it again. But he was basically saying there's a big similarity between blood and money, like that, in that, you know, lifeblood is, and I don't, like I said, I was distracted through this part, but it's something, it's not, it's one of the things in life that is always there, that you always need flowing in your life. And, you know, it has to be healthy and all this other stuff. But money is the same thing. It's just always going to be there. It's kind of a constant. You're not going to, you can't really get away from it. So you need to manage it, you know, correctly. So that's kind of the point, like, I'm coming to, is that probably first and foremost, I guess the two things I'm going to be focusing on that I'm thinking of so far is relationships and money. And with the money, you know, growing up, nobody really taught me how to deal with money. And for a good reason, because I don't think my parents even knew how to deal with money correctly, you know, to be honest. If I think of any of my parents, I think they got glimpses and did a few things right, but they didn't have a good foundation themselves, you know, and even still, my mom doesn't know how to take care of her money right, you know. She does better than I do, because she's probably learned some things and practiced them, but, you know, part of that comes with growing, you know, getting older. You get a few tricks here and there, and you get things going, but there's a basic foundation of money that you can build that I think will help. And there's another book I've been reading, and The Millionaire Mind, Secrets of Millionaire Mind, and he talks about money in one chapter, and it kind of dawned on me that I'm just not doing, like, managing your money is actually a way to make money. Like, it's actually a way to get your money working for you and not against you, and it's actually a really good thing to do. I mean, obviously it is, but I always kind of thought of it like, you know, I don't want to do a budget, and I don't want to, like, look at my money because I'm kind of afraid of what's going on there. And, you know, I just kind of, sometimes I, like,
I'm afraid to look at my bank account, and I think I'm all right because I think I didn't go over, but you know, I did buy this one extra thing, and maybe that screwed me up. I don't know. So like, I look at my bank account, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'm okay. And almost always, I'm okay, you know. But you know, sometimes it's by like $10 or something crazy, like. Oh man, if I didn't have that $10 in there, the rent check would have bounced. That would not be good. That type of thing. So that's not a good way to deal with things, you know, and you're not going to get anywhere if you don't even have a basic like foundation of what you're doing with your money, you know? How can you increase if you're not even, you don't even know where you're at? Like maybe you are increasing in money, but you don't even know it, and you don't know it because you don't know how much you had and how much you had last week and need have this week and will have next week, and who knows? I don't know. So if I'm going to build a business, I need to know this stuff, and I know I need to know this stuff, but I just haven't, you know, I thought it was like the boring part of all this, and it kind of is, but it's not either. At the same time, I've come to find out that there's actually a lot of exciting and interesting things about measuring this stuff. And I found that measuring is actually a very important part to progressing. Same thing with like losing weight and stuff. You know, you need to be looking at the scale every day at the same exact time. And, well, not exact like to the second, but you know, at the same general time, and that helps you to progress because you know where you're at, where you came from, and where you're going, you know. And sometimes if it looks like you didn't do so well, then that's motivation to get back in gear, you know, and type of stuff like that. Same thing with money. So one thing is I've never saved. I don't think I've saved a dime in my life. I mean, I think I might have thrown some stuff in savings just to take it out, like, in a month or, you know, by the end of the month. You know, like, I always thought it was weird that I even had a savings account because I never touched it. But, anyways, but that's, like, huge. That's an important part. You should have multiple savings accounts or ways that you're saving. And for specific different things. And you know, I always have these issues where like, oh, I need to fix the car, okay, so now I have to try to save money, but I have zero skill at saving money. So basically I do things when you know, tax season comes around and I get a little extra money. That's when I do some things, and then I have to wait for a year before I can do some more things, you know. And even then I end up spending it instead of doing the things I need to do. So you know, in the past I've put things on credit, and then I got into issues with that, and I had to file for bankruptcy, and that was great, you know, that sucked. So needless to say, I suck at money. And I've sucked for my whole life at money. And my wife is actually a little better. She was pretty good at saving and stuff, which, I don't know, maybe that's the half-Jewish side of her coming through. Not to be racist, but I guess it is a little racist, even though I don't feel like I'm racist at all, because I hate racism, but anyways. But her, you know, one side, her dad's side of the family is Jewish or whatever, and I don't know, maybe, he sucks with money, so I don't know. It's hard to believe that he learned anything, but maybe she learned it from her grandmother or whatever, you know, or grandfather, I should say, because he was a little better with some of this stuff, even though he wasn't all that great either with his money, but he was a little better, I think. But I think he did tell her some things about money and stuff, because she did say some things to me that he told her and stuff, so that's probably where that influence came in. But she used to save money and stuff, and she saved up enough to buy her car, to buy her car initially, and then she ended up paying it off. And I'm like, I never have done anything that disciplined with money, you know, so I had her in charge of the finances forever.
And then, you know, things kept happening with her physical situation, and she got to a point where even paying the bills was such a stress, and it was more stress even for me to see her getting all stressed about it. So I eventually took it over, you know, and me being somebody who has no idea what I'm doing, you know, just basically after the bankruptcy, I took it over. So it's like, okay, we only have these few bills now, so I can deal with that. I'll just pay the bills and, you know, whatever. But now, after doing that for about, I don't know, a year or two, you know, I'm realizing, I'm learning some things, and I'm realizing I need to start approaching this right, you know. And so, you know, that's one thing that I'm going to be talking to my wife about, and we're gonna start changing some things. There's a lot of stuff that's kind of screwed up in our lives that we can't change, but there's a lot of stuff that we can change, and we need to start doing that. Even just as basic stuff as like cleaning the house and like having kind of schedules. And, you know, I think I might even instate like sitting at the table for dinner, you know, as being something we definitely do every, because I screwed this up. Like, I came at this stuff like, I like to eat and watch TV. That's what I like to do. So that's what we've been doing, and I, forever, like, our whole marriage. And so I eat and watch, we eat and watch TV, and then that whole session just never stops. We keep having either snacks, or even if we don't snack too much, we're just sitting in front of the TV, you know, for the rest of the night, and nothing else ever happens. And it didn't start off that way, but it gradually got to that point, and that's where we're at now. So I think I'm going to start doing dinners, you know, and just, we're going to start eating at the table every night, and, you know, talking about life and things more, instead of just sitting there next to each other in front of the TV, not really conversing at all. You know, what kind of relationship is that? I mean, we have a decent enough relationship, but it could be much better, you know? And I'm to blame, she's to blame, we're, you know, nobody, who cares where the blame goes, let's just fix it, you know? So, we're going to be having this discussion probably tonight. I'm going to, like, set up dinner at the table, and she's going to be surprised. So, that's what's going on. I mean, and I'm going to start talking about this stuff, because we both have mentioned about saving and stuff recently, and so we're on the same page basically, you know, and we need to probably get even more on the same page. And so I'm going to be talking to her about that. And, you know, that all being said, some other things are going to change too. I think I'm switching all this art and music stuff into hobby land for a while. I don't know exactly what I'm going to do with this yet, but I might be doing that for like 3 months. I'm thinking of making it a 3-month thing, commitment to stay away from all this stuff. You know, I'll keep doing the podcast and I'll keep my sights up. And for fun and relaxation, I'll work on music and art because I like it. But other than that, you know, I'm not going to pursue anything with like really trying to make a living out of this anymore for a time. And then we'll reevaluate once we have a foundation of dealing with our money correctly and saving and investing and doing what we need to do and spending more time, you know, at the table and building our life and seeing exactly what do we want our life to look like, you know, and let's make some goals and work together towards them instead of her just doing her thing and me doing my thing. Is pretty much what we do, you know. And then we watch TV together, you know, and we go places sometimes together, you know, but it's just not working, you know. And things need to be changed, you know. We're not gonna, you know, if our parents sucked at teaching us this stuff, are we gonna just, you know, keep sucking because our parents didn't do it? Somebody's got to make a change. And it, also with the family stuff, you know, I'm going to start speaking up and speaking my mind a little bit more when things come up, because that's the biggest problem in our family, is nobody's talking to each other and everybody's getting pissed at each other, you know, and it's just, it's getting dumb, you know? And it's not even stuff I'm necessarily participating in so much, but I'm going to start speaking up and saying to people, you need to talk to, you know, your mother or your sister or whatever. And, you know, because I am responsible for what I'm responsible for, and I have the ability to maybe have some influence on my family, so I'm going to do that, you know? If I don't do that, am I just letting things get worse? And, you know, some of that's on my head, you know? So things are changing. Things are going to change, and that's where I'm at right now, you know? So, but a big thing is reinventing yourself. That's what we, you know, can and need to do, and I'll come back with some closing thoughts in a minute. I have to make a stop here, so, yeah, see you in a sec. So, as I think about this a little bit more, you know, basically things are going to go into maintenance mode, I think, is what it's going to be, is, you know, I'll still do, you know, the podcast, and I'll still keep learning things, and I may even still put up videos, make beats, make art, all that stuff. But it's going to be, like, all that is only, like, pretty much just for fun. And then, like, you know, if there's any little maintenance-y things that have to get done, I'll do them. But not, like, I'm not going to, I've been putting up a video every single day. That's not going to happen anymore. But who knows, I might get out a couple or a few each week. But only for the fun of it, you know, it's not going to be, like, I'm building a business, you know, and, I don't know, but I'm going to try my best to stay on that, you know, that kind of thing, and that's, you know, I want to do this in a way where I'm working with my wife more, and she's involved, and, I mean, I've always wanted that, and I've always tried to get her involved, but it's kind of hard, because, you know, we have different interests. She's not really into the hip-hop and the, I mean, she likes what I do. She thinks it's cool. She uses my beats in her videos when she makes them, which she hasn't for a while. But she wants to do her videos too, so, you know, I'm going to try to help her with that as well. But, again, not being a business thing, just keeping it as fun for now for maybe like 3 months. I don't know. Like, I haven't made a 100% decision or anything. But that's probably what me and my wife will discuss, and that, and then we're gonna learn. This is gonna be like one of our biggest priorities, if not the biggest, for now. Is we're gonna learn how to manage our money, and do it right, and do it in a way where we're saving and we're beginning to at least build money to invest. And or to earn capital for creating whatever business we want to create. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, the art stuff and music stuff might end up remaining in hobby land, you know. I don't know. This is still the Escape Artist Podcast. I still want to escape. I don't want to be doing what I'm doing right now, but, you know, for the rest of my life, it's just has nothing to do with anything I'm interested in. I want to get to do something that I'm at least interested in, and I guess where I can skillfully make a contribution is a kind of a big factor too, because I just feel like the ways that I could expand in what I'm doing right now is like, maybe I could, like, make myself, like, create a different, like, brochure or something for this company to sell their stuff because the brochures they make aren't that great, you know, that kind of thing. But why would I want to do that? I'm just not interested at all in any of that. And they can deal with that, and I don't know. But I've been... One thing from this book that kind of threw me for a loop at first, but I'm starting to wrap my head around it, is he's talking about, like, people who make these commencement speeches and stuff at graduations and stuff. And he said, one of the biggest things, most important things you can do if you're, you know, in college and stuff, is try your best to absolutely ignore the commencement speech, because what they say is not useful for life most of the time. And basically, what do they say? That, you know, a lot of times they're like, go out into the world and make a difference, and do your passion, you know, do what you're passionate, do what you love, and the money will follow, that kind of, all those kind of things. And that, you know, threw me for a loop, because that's kind of what I kind of preach and think and talk about and hear and listen to, and, you know, but I totally get what he's saying, you know, as well. And I realized that, that might be a mistake. And I think there's kind of a happy medium I'm starting to realize, is maybe you don't do your passion. And I've talked about this before, because it has dawned on me before. You know, if you sit there and think about what is your ultimate passion, you know, in the world, and you're like, okay, I'm going to do that. Like, say it's comic books. I want to be a comic book artist. Well, the example that Rabbi Daniel Lappin talks about is, you know, a composer, actually. So I'm going to go on a whole different metaphor. I'll tell you what he says in his book. you know, there's like a composer. And, you know, this guy, he wants to be a composer, like a famous composer. And that's what his aspiration is in life is. He goes to school, you know, goes to music school or something, tries to be, you know, learn everything he can, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but he probably shouldn't try to become a composer. Now, he's not saying that, you know, if that's absolute, you're absolutely sure, and like, he says, you know, yeah, go for it. If you have seen that people do like what you're doing, like, in a way, like, where it's, like, kind of catching on, and you really are, like, already just, you know, you can kind of try to build it on the side, but don't go for that as your vocation, because it's just, it's pretty vain, because the, not vain, it's pretty much, you know, a mistake, because you, there's literally only, like, maybe two positions in the country, for a composer to make an actual living wage. I mean, if you were to look, and it's similar with comics too, like, there's, how many people are in the industry making a living off of this? It's not a huge number. If we were to look at it, it could be somewhere around 50, maybe. I don't know. Maybe it's 100 or a couple hundred. But still, that, compared to all the people trying to make comics, there's thousands for every 100, probably, or for every one of those 100 that are making a living, that want to do what they're doing. So, with the composer, you know, not only is it kind of not a good idea to pursue that as your vocation, but it's also the people, the two positions that are available in the country to do that are, and this is, you know, this isn't exact numbers, but those two positions, they're going to be looking for the absolute best, most experienced composer that you probably haven't developed your skill up to yet. You know, so they're looking for world class. They might not even look to America for it, if you're in America. You know, maybe they look into other countries because there are better composers there or something. Who knows? You know, but, you know, it's just, it doesn't make sense. You're not connecting in a way that business works. The way that business works is you help other people with something that they need or want. But if not enough people need or want the thing you do, maybe that's not such a good idea, you know? And so, you know, what's the alternative? I've always thought of, well, do it yourself, you know? Make your own lane, you know, create your own customers. But I've done a lot of trying, and I'm not giving up on that, really. That's still kind of the dream, and I'm still a little not 100% sure what to do in this situation, but I still want to do what I'm doing, basically. But I'm really very much more open to other alternatives, maybe even just to help me get a little bit better on my feet, and then and build this thing on the side or something, which is kind of what I've been doing, but I need something better, you know, than what the job I'm at. And I could be happy at other things. And what he says, and this is something I have a hard time swallowing, and maybe it's not true, maybe I need to disregard it, you know, we'll see. But what he says is, you just find a need, and or whatever it is, and fill it, a job where, you know, and you fill it to the best of your ability, become a professional, and, you know, you basically, when you do things and you do, you try to be the best at it that you are, you're going to start loving it. But you basically, you don't start from love and passion, you start from fulfilling a need and build into love and passion for the thing. Which I can see that as well as being a thing, and it makes sense. I mean, you know, supply and demand, you can't market to a market that's not there, you know? I mean, that's why we get so frustrated, and we get so frustrated that people don't like and share our stuff, and, you know, we don't get much momentum. It's because there's just not a lot of people out there that give a crap about what we're doing, you know? Or want to actually pay money for it, you know? And I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm really not saying that at all. Jeff Lafferty's freaking doing it. He's switching up his whole situation, and I think he's still going to keep doing it, and he's still going to be able to stay afloat, I think. And, you know, I think he can expand further, and I think he will. You know, he's just making art and selling it. And there's a lot of people who are doing that, but it's a tough road. I think we all have come to the point where we know it's a tough road. It ain't easy. And there's other ways of doing, you know, making a living, that it's always going to be hard work, but it doesn't have to be that hard, you know. And I'm not looking for an easier path, but I am looking to make some progress and be the responsible person in my family that I have to be, and, you know, kind of grow up, you know. And I just feel like there's certain things I need to develop, and there's certain things I need to learn that I haven't been taught, and I maybe should have been taught, but it doesn't matter. I need to learn them for myself, you know. And so the thing I was going to kind of close all this on was that, you know, the idea, and Rabbi Daniel Lappin brought this up in the Thou Shalt Prosper book, and he talks about it a lot as well in this new book, is you have to basically become a different person. And like I said, not in the sense that, you know, your default is still going to be what it is, you know, but you have to change in a progressive manner and to contribute to the world. And, and that's what I'm doing, you know, that's what I want to do. I want to be, and I think I'm an okay person anyways. You know, I care about people. I don't take advantage of people. You know, I create friendships. I don't know. I am friends. I shouldn't say I create them, but, you know, I mess around with my art and music and try to treat my do, you know, treat my friends and family good, and, you know, I create things that people like. I'm not pushy, I'm not a jerk, for the most part. You know, I'm not perfect either. I've done plenty of things that I regret, but I've learned from them, I hope, and if not, I hope to learn from them. And I'm continuously trying to grow and become a better person. So I'm already an okay person, I think, you know, but I want to be, I want to start fulfilling my potential is the thing, and a little more, you know, and I want to be more of a responsible person. I want, you know, my wife to feel proud and excited to, you know, that, and just like safe, you know, I want her to feel all the things that she needs to feel, you know, that maybe sometimes are lacking because I'm too busy farting around with my art and music, and sometimes, many times to, you know, the point where I probably could be either spending time with her or, I don't know, like fixing the car or something. I don't know, you know. But I just know that I could be more useful, and I'm just spinning my wheels more than anything. And I want to be useful. I think we all have a desire to be a useful part of society. Like, and when we're not, we start to make excuses. We start to get bitter. We start to get, and I'm getting that way more and more. And it's like, I don't like that. I've never been that person. I don't like being, you know, I like to be optimistic, and I'm starting to lose my optimism, and I'm starting to blame my parents more, you know, because I'm in situations that I just don't seem to be able to, I can't seem to crack the code, you know, and a big part of that is my foundation is screwed up, you know. I need to, I mean, there's a lot of things I built within my foundation. I tried to do right from the beginning of my life because I just felt that was important. But then there's some things that I just never did that I should have done. And that's what I want to do, you know. So that's kind of, I'm going to let this become a hobby thing for a while, you know. Try that out. I haven't really tried that out too much, you know. I've done a lot of other stuff. So if what you're doing isn't working, try something different. That's what I'm doing. So, you know, hopefully there was some takeaways from this. I hope I didn't, like, you know, depress you or anything. Like, there's a lot of hope in this. And there's a lot of, I mean, I still plan on making a living doing something that I love. And hopefully it's related to art and music. And if not, I'm still going to be very much involved in that because I just love it, and I can't, why would I stop doing something I enjoy, you know? So, that's about it, guys. Thanks for listening. Like I said, hopefully you got something from this. I think there's definitely some takeaways. And, you know, just do be encouraged. Keep doing what you're doing. And, you know, evaluate, you know, your own self and try to be as honest as you can with your situation. I'm trying to be honest with my situation. I think we all, at being human, you just can't help it. I think you tend to lie to yourself to make yourself feel better about things and to deal and cope. So, you know, I'm probably going to do more of that at times, but you know, I'm trying to be honest with myself, evaluate the situation, and make some real change, you know, that will be lasting. Because the work I put in on this kind of stuff, like managing my money better and understanding money and building relationships and things like that, that's more lasting anyways, you know. Because if I do that and that's set in place, then all my other stuff can be built off of that, and it doesn't have to be me constantly second guessing whether I have my finances straight and I have, you know, my head straight about other things and stuff. And, you know, I got things to take care of, and there's a lot of things, like just our lifestyle is just so bare minimum. It's been so bare minimum forever Like, you'd be surprised. Like, I'm surprised when I actually sit there and think about how little I actually have, because I've just been living on bare minimum for so long. Like, we literally have been eating rice, beans, and a vegetable every night. I mean, we go out sometimes, or we'll order out a few times a week, but for the most part, that's what we've been eating almost every night, and we just keep eating that for dinner. And that, because one thing was the money situation, the other thing we were trying to, like, maybe kind of partially do vegetarianism type of thing, just try to be healthier, but it's just, the quality of life is like, you just worked really hard and doing all this stuff, and then that's what you have for dinner. I like it, but how much can you do that? And she's getting sick of it, I'm getting sick of it. So I started introducing meat into the schedule again. And, you know, I've come to realize that meat isn't really that, I don't really think it's all that bad for you. There's studies now, new studies that are saying that, you know, they think they're kind of wrong about fat, the fat issue, and whatever, who knows. I'm not an expert, but I think in moderation it's okay, and I want to still be healthy, so we're going to be working on that too. That's another thing I need to work on, you know. I'm overweight, my wife's overweight, we gotta become better versions of ourselves, you know. So that's it, guys. So reinvent maybe a little bit for this year, you know. Maybe that's the takeaway, you know. Start putting together some goals to make your life better that are lasting, you know. And, you know, let's work on it together. You know, hopefully it works out for you. Hopefully it works out for me, you know. And I think there's a lot more potential that we can all fulfill. So that's about it, guys. Thank you for listening. You guys are awesome. Thank you for all your support. And that's about it. I'll talk to you guys on the next Escape Artist Podcast.
Background music later. Provided by Mr. Poole. You can find show notes at donkeyjawprojects.com, where you can also sign up for the newsletter. If you'd like to support, go to patreon.com/plex or go to iTunes and leave a review. And thank you so much for listening. Now get your butt out there and make some awesome stuff. It's Escape Artist.